It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Thanks a lot. Great to be back here again. Welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is titled, What is Coach Salting? Coach Salting. We're going to talk about how to integrate coaching and consulting, combining the best of both worlds and using your life experiences while still holding the clients whole and accountable for coming up with their own solutions. But first, if you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for some other past shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email at doug@thecoachingperspective.com. I should have said authors, too, because lately I've gotten a number of emails from you, you new authors out there. So we're looking forward to that, too. If you've missed any of our previous shows, just go to either dgefeller.podbeam.com or our webpage, thecoachingperspective.com. So let's see. Commercial, what do we do? Well, for 19 years, we've been coaching here in primarily Orange County, working with executives. Our primary purpose in our coaching is creating more effective teams. And we work with both the team as a group, and we work with the individuals. We've worked with CEOs and their direct reports. We've worked with temporary work teams or project teams. And we've worked with the newest entry-level managers. So if you would like to have your team become more effective, hey, just give me a call, drop me an email, and we'll see what we can do. Well, let's talk about today's program. You know, what is Coach Salting? You know, it's kind of interesting. I have gotten more emails today than I think I've ever gotten from people after they've read the newsletter. I don't know whether that's because I sent it out later in the day and our audience is really awake and reading the newsletter then, or whether it's because you were just intrigued with the word Coach Salting. Well, let me tell you about that word. This is a word that I invented over 10 years ago when I first started coaching. Well, at least I thought I had invented it. I thought I'd invented it until I tried to buy the URL for the .com version and the .net version and found they were already taken. They weren't being used, but somebody owned them and wasn't interested in selling them. Anyhow, I bought the .biz version, which I have done nothing with, but hey, you know, you never know. And I coined my own definition, which means of Coach Salting, which is to mean the combination of providing both coaching and consulting services to the same client under the same engagement. Let me go back again. The combination of providing both coaching and consulting services to the same client under the same engagement. That's my definition. Well, since then, I've run across a number of people using the word Coach Salting with the following definitions. So let me give them to you. One person says, this is the priceless combination of coaching and consulting from one who is an expert in both, the best of both worlds. Someone else says, the expertise of a master coach combined with years of real-world experience in leadership and consulting. Another person says, pragmatic, proven diagnostic capabilities blended with thoughtful coaching proficiencies to align and fit to you. Another, combine the wisdom of success and experience with the curiosity of what works for you. And another says, with traditional coaching, the coach asks questions but doesn't supply answers. With traditional consulting, the consultants are expected to have all of the answers. And with Coach Salting, I ask the right questions and provide the answers when you need them. That's somebody else talking, not me. And the last, somebody says, it's an ideal synthesis of business experience, training, consulting, and leadership. Well, you know, some of these are pretty lofty statements, usually reserved for marketing collateral, and not necessarily something that I would be comfortable saying out loud to a prospect. But I can't say that I disagree with the way in which they've defined coachsulting, that combination of the best of both worlds. Well, you know, when I first got started in coaching, I got my training through CTI. And, of course, that training was in line with the ICF's statements and beliefs in coaching. And both groups were very clear that there is a distinction between coaching and consulting. And, in fact, the impression I walked away from, my training at least, was that the two should never be mixed together, that this is a volatile combination that could explode. And that you need to be real clear if you ever give anybody any advice, which my impression again was that we really don't recommend that you give anybody advice. But if you're going to, be sure to ask for permission and be sure to define out that this part of the conversation is not a coaching conversation, but is a consulting combination. Well, you know, with that kind of an impression of what I thought was the way to approach the coaching consulting dilemma, I went out into the business world and started coaching, and I found myself frequently in conflict with how to handle that situation. You know, right from the very start, people would hire me as a coach because of my business experience. They could look at the fact that I had created companies, that I had run companies, that the dollar volumes had been X, the profits had been X, the number of employees were X, that I had worked for large, well-known corporations, that I'd been involved in mergers and acquisitions, you know, those kinds of things that other business people could relate to and say, I know what he's done, and this is the guy I want. They had no ability to evaluate my coaching. They didn't know how to look at my coaching experience and say, this is a good coach, a bad coach, a new coach, a mediocre coach, whatever. Eventually, I could say, well, I'm an MCC. And they would give me this blank stare and go, what's an MCC? And I would stop saying I'm an MCC and start saying I'm a master certified coach. And that didn't make a hill of beans a difference to anyone either. A year or so ago, I started sort of expanding that definition, again, trying to get clear with people about where am I as a coach in the coaching world. And I would say things like, well, you know, the ICF has 25,000 members worldwide and 8,000 certified coaches and less than 700 master certified coaches, and of those, only 300 and some are in North America, and I'm one of them. So that was kind of, you know, but still, the bottom line was that most of my coaching engagements, I think what cinched the deal, what got me the engagement, was my business experience, which really meant that when I walked in the door, there was a certain level of consulting that was part of their expectation of our coaching engagement. Now, I sat down, we discussed what the coaching engagement was going to look like. We discussed our understanding. We wrote it out, and it very clearly stated what coaching was all about. But that didn't remove people's impression of what they thought they were going to get. Let me take a minute and tell you why I chose to use the term coachsulting, and why did I put the word coach in front of consultant. It was interesting. I got an email from Michael Stratford, and Michael had done other combinations, and he had the coaching at the back end. And I thought, you know, that never even entered my mind. It's funny how we have perspectives. Well, the reason I put coaching in front, because, you know, my business experience outside of coaching says that most business people find it much easier to identify when and why they need a consultant. It's easier for them to identify when they need a consultant than it is for them to identify when they need a coach. So shouldn't it come first? Because that's the easiest thing for them to hire. That's the handle. That's the defining word that they understand. Well, I don't think it should come first because in my practice, coaching takes priority over consulting, no matter which I was hired for first or what the client thinks is the priority. And the reason is that having the right answer, that thing that consultants provide you with, hardly ever solves the problem in my experience. What's key in solving the problem is in executing the right answer, and that takes coaching. So let me give you a few examples of kind of what I'm talking about. Let's take the issue, and I've had a number of coaching assignments that this could apply to, where, you know, the employee is not performing, and the client that I'm coaching feels that this employee needs to be fired, but they've been putting it off for months, and in some cases, I hate to say, maybe even for years. As a consultant, what I might do is take the client through the steps that are necessary to fire someone, maybe even recommend that they read the book Fix Them or Fire Them by Stephen Schar. Stephen was a past guest on this show, and I would strongly recommend, if you'd like to know more about the steps that you would take in firing somebody or fixing them, look at the past radio broadcasts and listen to it. But basically, I'd make sure that they know what to do both before, during, and after the termination process. And with my consulting hat on, my assumption is that if they know what to do, then they can do it. False. As a coach in this situation, I would probably focus on why have they been putting off taking any action? Not on how to take the action, but why have they been putting it off? Is there some responsibility here that they feel, and that's what's been keeping them from taking the action? Do they feel it's their fault that the employee's not performing? Do they feel like they're responsible for the employee's livelihood or his happiness or his or her ego? And if so, how can we possibly resolve that? I would have them, as their coach, I'd have them look at how things would be if they took the action, or how would things be if they never took that action, that termination. I might work with them to have them explore what other solutions could there be other than terminating this person. So, again, I'm looking at the root cause of why they're not taking the action. The consultant approach is more about, here's what you need to do. These are the steps involved in taking the action. I think there's a huge difference between these two. Let me give you another example. A number of years ago, during the recession, not the most current one, I had a client that I was working with that was questioning whether he should shut down his business. With my consulting hat on, we evaluated what would be the financial impacts in terms of cost to close down the business, cost to stay open and not close it down, what would be the liabilities, both real and potential. We tried to quantify all of the aspects of either closing the business down or keeping it open. We tried as a consultant to take our past experience, market trends, and sort of extrapolate out what is the most likely scenario in the future. Could things get better? What would it take? How much money would have to be invested to make them get better? And what is the likelihood that that would happen? Well, having done all of that as in a consulting role, it became very clear that the prudent financial decision was to shut this business down as fast as you possibly could. Stop the loss of money, shut it down, little likelihood that things are going to get any better. That would be the best financial decision. That would be the expert advice that would be offered as a consultant. As a coach, looking at the same issue with the same client, we explored how this client would feel if he shut the business down and what he thought his responsibilities were to the employees, to his clients, to his customers, to the associates that he worked with, to the people that he had alliances with, not his legal responsibilities, but what did he think were his sort of moral responsibilities? How would shutting that business down now work with and be compatible with his value systems? We explored how he would feel after making this decision. The outcome after going through that kind of a coaching dialogue was that he ended up setting a dollar limit that he would not lose any more money going forward than X millions of dollars, and that he was going to let his staff know that that benchmark had been set. And what became really clear was that his concern over his responsibilities to his people was much greater than his concern over losing the money. Now, you know, there were a number of other consultants involved in this particular scenario, and for some of them, they became livid with this decision. They could not understand how someone could keep operating a business knowing full well that it wasn't going to get healthier and that it would continue to lose money. And that the only reason they were doing that was to prolong the compensation to the employees, was to give people more time to adjust to the idea that the business was going to be closed down. So there was a huge disconnect in this case between the sort of consultant recommendation and the coaching decision that was arrived at. Now, let me be real clear in both of these examples. It wasn't a matter of one was right and one was wrong. It was a matter of looking at the same issue from two different perspectives. And in fact, was the client able to make a better decision as a result of having both perspectives? That perspective of expert advice from someone, a consultant who had been there, done it, and seen it, and that expert advice from a coach who was able to walk him through what his feelings were about the issue, what the ramifications were, how he would deal with them, and how he would feel about this after it was all done. So what do these examples show us? Over and over again, I found that the public perception of business owners, that of them being cold, heartless, money-hungry people, is totally wrong. What the consulting approach has yielded is an awareness of the facts, but a focus on the emotions and the values that we have as human beings. I don't mean to give consultants a bad rap. I work as a consultant in some cases, but I work as a consultant and a coach. I want nothing to do with working strictly as a consultant. And you know, before I became a coach, I tried out the consulting role. I was retained by a company to advise them on developing a master plan community because I had some experience in that area. And we spent a week together with their key staff, and we went through all of the steps and looked at their plans and critiqued their plans and shared with them best practices from the communities that we'd established. We shared with them our mistakes, the things that we'd done right, the things that we'd done wrong, the things that we wish we had done differently. And when we had the last meeting with this group, this client, at the end of the week, they expressed tremendous satisfaction over the time and energy and the knowledge that we had shared with them. From their point of view, it was a successful engagement. They handed us the check as we walked out the door. We're happy that we were there, volunteered to give recommendations. However, when I got on that plane to fly home, I knew that in spite of what we had shared with them, that they really didn't have the commitment to move forward on the project. Oh, sure, they got started, but it didn't work out well. And I think the reason was is that everything they tried to do was our idea, not their idea. Everything was the consultant's recommendation, not theirs. You know, it is far easier to remain focused and committed on something that you have true ownership of. When it's somebody else's idea, there's just not the same level of commitment. I don't mean that you have to dream up everything yourself originally, but you have to buy into it. You have to believe in it. You have to be a part of it. And the more you can use your coaching along with your consulting to get the client to come to the awareness that your business experience, your consulting expertise shows you that they should come to, the more they can develop and move along that path to reaching the decision that you might have instinctively gone to immediately, the more they're going to take ownership of it, and the more they're going to have, the more success they're going to have actually implementing and creating it. You know, in recent years, I've had a number of occasions where a coach has sent me a client because the client wanted more consulting and less coaching. And these were cases where the referring coach felt that my business experience would be critical to coaching the client. Notice what I just said. Two things here. The client thought they needed more consulting and less coaching. The referring coach thought that the consulting was needed to make the coaching work. I agree with both of those statements. You know, few of our clients are experienced in using coaches, so it's not surprising that they are perhaps the least qualified to know what the process is that they need to be successful. They're obviously the most qualified to know what the outcomes need to be. But I think this is a key reason that I think the consulting model works so well for me, is that the clients feel that they need someone that they could accept and value their advice. But having said that, as the coach, I don't want to just give them my advice. I want to coach them to understand why I'm giving that advice, to understand the ramifications of implementing that advice, and coach them in actually executing the actions that are needed there. To me, that is what consulting is all about. We don't have to take a lot of time today to beat it to death, but I think that it was an eye-opener for me when I realized that I had perhaps mistakenly taken the impression that as a coach, as a certified coach, that I couldn't consult. I think that would be cheating my clients out of something that they expect in a business coaching relationship. Now, I will say this, that for the clients that I have worked with for a longer period of time, I think that if you interviewed them and asked them what was the, where did the value in the coaching with me come from, they would probably not point out any of my consulting statements, but they would probably tell you about the coaching statements. They would tell you about the fact that they had someone who listened to them. They would tell you about the fact that they had someone who made them think about what they were saying. They had someone that would make them look at their assumptions and reevaluate whether those assumptions were true. They had someone who would help them look at their issues from a different perspective, from the other person's perspective, from the perspective of how did I get here, from the perspective of what's it going to be like when I'm there, when I solve this problem. I am completely confident that the clients would value the coaching the most. But I'm also aware of the fact that to get to that point with the clients, one of the criteria, one of the credentials, one of the validations that I need to present them with is that ability to share a certain level of consulting experience and judgment. So that's why I think that if I have to define what it is I do from a business point of view, that it is coachsulting, not just straight coaching. Well, look, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate the opportunity today to talk about this. If you'd like to know more about it, drop me a line. I'd be glad to answer any questions or talk further about it. Just want to give you a reminder that March 13th is the Orange County chapter of the ICF monthly dinner meeting at the Wyndham Hotel. You can go to their site, coachesoforangecounty.com, and get information on the speaker and who's going to be talking. And be sure to listen to octalkradio.net. Lots of other great programs on besides this one. Well, maybe they're not as great as this one, but there are other good programs. And, hey, be sure to check out our website and our Podbeam account, because that's where we store all of our older shows. And, hey, it's been great today, and I wish you a lot of success in your coachsulting. This is Doug Gefeller signing off, thanking you for all of your support. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Thank you. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.